Who's been to a wedding? There's a few. I would expect to see more, particularly anybody who's married. I'd expect you've probably been to a wedding, right? And who has heard 1 Corinthians chapter 13 read at a wedding? Is it just me? Really? Oh, well, never mind then. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is referred to as the love chapter. And for good reason. We see Paul going over and over about love. And for that reason, it also seems to be a classic one to use in weddings, which is good. It's appropriate. But because of its beauty and because of how much it talks about love and it getting pulled and used and read all by itself for weddings, we sometimes lose the context of it. We sometimes lose this idea that this chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, is not primarily about husbands and wives. It's not primarily about weddings. It's not primarily about just two people loving one another. It comes in this context of worship. It comes in this context of Paul talking to the church and how the church lives and acts and speaks to one another and to the world around them. This chapter 13 comes right after chapter 12. I'm going to let that sink in for a little bit because I know. I went to seminary and I learned that. It also comes right before chapter 14, right? Both of which talk about spiritual gifts. Interesting that right in the middle of that, we have this whole chapter devoted to love. So as we read these very familiar words today, let's look at what Paul is doing here as he's talking to the Corinthian church. Let's look at how that impacts us today in our church. Let's see about putting this into some context here and see what God has for us. So we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love, these three abide. But the greatest of these is love. Right in the middle of talking about worship, of bringing the Corinthian church together and saying, look at the way we're living life. Look at the way that we're doing things. With all these questions of an orderly service, of coming together and not distracting each other by trying to one-up everybody, by trying to press my own freedoms out there so far that it distracts from what we're doing. In the midst of looking at the Lord's Supper and saying, how are we caring for one another? How are we drawing one another in? in the midst of spiritual gifts and the ways that you're gifted as opposed to the ways you're gifted, and the fact that we are not all gifted the same, and that's by design that we come together. Paul talks about love. Having talked about spiritual gifts and some that are trying to present themselves as better because of the gifts they have, and others who are just desiring other ones and being jealous of each other's gifts, Paul at the end of chapter 12 says, I will show you a more excellent way. And that excellent way that he starts talking about is love. And so at the beginning of chapter 13, he's going back and talking about those gifts, right? If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, he had just talked about those who are speaking in tongues and those who are interpreting tongues. If I have prophetic powers, the gift of prophecy, if I understand mysteries and have all knowledge, those who have wisdom and knowledge, those who have mercy and generosity, Paul goes on and just almost names each one and says, look at this gift, look at that gift, look at that gift. If we have these gifts and we're doing great things, but we don't have love, then the things we're doing don't matter. Isn't that amazing? Paul is saying that if we're using these gifts that God has given us, if we are doing great things with these gifts that God has given us, if we're reaching out and we're serving people and we're speaking great wonders, but we're doing it without love, then none of it matters. See, we live in a world that identifies success by the things we do. That looks and identifies whether we're making an impact based on the things we do, the results of those things. Paul says in this more excellent way, we're looking deeper than that. We're looking to the heart of the matter. Do you have love? He asks. Because certainly there are ways to speak prophetically, to understand mysteries, to expound knowledge that is all based on, look what I can do. Look what I know. Look how I can show that I'm smarter than anybody else. Paul says that can't be the base of it. Love. Love has to be the base. Love must motivate everything that we do. Now, it's easy for us to just say love generically, right? And possibly, whenever you hear that word love, and we've said it a whole bunch already today, just unconsciously, images start coming up, like little floating hearts and stuff, and cupids and whatever, or you think love, and automatically we think of our kids, or our husband or wife. What kind of love are we talking about here? Well, who remembers when people came to Jesus and said, teacher, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? Do you remember? He said two things. First, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He goes right back to the book of Deuteronomy. Love the Lord with everything you've got, he says. And then he says, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So as we think about our kids, as we think about our spouses, this is appropriate. But it can't stop there. Because that love we have for God comes because he's loved us. John says it as he's writing in his letters. We love because he first loved us. We only love God because he's loved us already. He's shown his love already. We can only truly love one another because we love God, because God has already loved us. It's like he's pouring in. And you think of the little glass that we are. And I can't even say a water pitcher, because eventually a water pitcher runs out. And maybe think about turning on the garden hose and just filling that glass. And the glass fills up, and then it spills over, and then it keeps spilling over, and keeps spilling over, and God's love doesn't stop. And so as we have been loved by him, we can love him in return, and we can have that love spill out to all those around us. Paul says everything we do should be motivated by this kind of love. If we look toward the end, if we look at verse 8, we see where Paul says, love never ends. Think of that water hose, right? Love never ends. He says, it just keeps going on and on and on. Because as John also said in that same letter, God is love. God doesn't stop being. God doesn't ever get caught unaware. God knows all. He controls all. He is all powerful, and he continues on forever and ever. Time doesn't affect God. He's outside of it. He created it. So love never ends. Paul goes back and looks at all these different gifts. Prophets, prophecies, as we come and speak the word of God, that's eventually going to pass away. Why? Because as we step into eternity, we don't need to speak about God anymore. We see him face to face. He says tongues, they're going to cease. Knowledge, it passes away. All these different things, because what we have right now, he says in verse 9, we know in part, we prophesy in part. What we've got right now is this broken version of it. Because sin has so affected everything that even what we know about God is woefully incomplete. What we can say about God with these finite tongues we've got and with our limited understanding, it doesn't match who God is. We know in part, but praise God, that part is enough to point us to him and to show how incredible he is. So all these things, prophecies, tongues, wisdom, all that, eventually they're going to pass away. Why? Because we only know in part. But he says, when the perfect comes, the partial passes away. When we see God face to face, when we suddenly understand what true love is, the words we have for it don't express. When we finally know fully, as he says in verse 12, when we know him fully, even as we have been fully known by him, what a day that's going to be. So what is this kind of love that Paul's talking about? A love that should motivate our every word and action, and a love that continues on forever. There are those few verses tucked right in the middle of it that hold a lot there. And we don't have time to look at all of it today, but let's read it and look at just a couple of those things. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is patient. patient and kind. It describes the way God is with us, doesn't it? As we stumble along so broken, I guess, as we stumble along and devote ourselves to Him, and then we fail again, and we try to do better, and our trying doesn't work, and we realize our dependence, and we say, God, I need You. And He works in us, and we still find ourselves failing. God is patient. Some of the older versions say He is long-suffering. He doesn't give up. Y'all, God hasn't given up on you. Maybe you need to hear that. God hasn't given up on you. We give up on ourselves a lot. That's it. I can't do it. It's just too hard. It's too much. We give up on ourselves, but God has not given up on you. And so as we're called to love, that's what we're called to be for one another. Patient. Not giving up. Not quick to anger. And boy, what image just went into your head there. I'll tell you, for me, it's simple things. Like when you're trying to get out the door and checking for everything and got keys, no wallet. So I go back to right where I know where that wallet was, and it's not there. And we're talking, you know, maybe a couple minutes later that I'm going to be out the door. But right away, I'm like, no, where is it? That happened this morning. Andrea and Karis are in Omaha at a horse thing. The boys have something going on this afternoon, so they went to church with Grandma and Grandpa today, so they spent the night with Grandma and Grandpa. I'm angry in the house because my wallet isn't there. I'm the only one in the house. The fact that my wallet isn't there is my fault. But I'm starting to get angry about it. I went, love is patient. Love is kind. We get that way, don't we? Because we can so easily get focused on me, on my plans, on what I have going, on what I need to get done. And that's the antithesis of love. For love to be patient means I'm not putting me first. For love to, as it says in verse 5, not insist on its own way. To not be irritable or resentful. Other versions say not easily angered, or love is not provoked, is how that'll also be said. Just because the bait's there doesn't mean you have to take it, right? But that all means that I can't be first in this whole equation. And the second part of that first thing, love is patient, love is kind. As God is so patient with us, He is also so kind, so much more than we deserve. You know, as we think of greater love has no man than this, that He laid down His life for a friend, as Jesus is saying, as Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, the kindness is overwhelming. And that's where, as we just try and reflect that character, as we try and be filled with His love so that that love can spill out to others, we are looking for ways not to get ahead of one another, not to tear one another down, but to build one another up, to be kind to one another, to look for ways to outdo each other in serving one another rather than being served. This is the kind of love that Paul's talking about. This is what he looks to motivate us in everything we do. This is the kind of love that lasts forever. And we're in a society that has this mentality of nothing lasts forever. And we see it happening all the time. And people saying, well, you know, we just fell out of love. Love isn't a feeling. Love isn't some ambiguous, warm, fuzzy. Love is a choice to lay down ourselves for one another, to be patient with one another, to be kind with one another, because God has already been so patient and so kind with me. And so Paul wraps up this section on love, talking about how do we live in community together? By looking out for one another, by sacrificing for one another. But we do that not with our eyes just on one another, with our eyes on Jesus, who enables us to do that. So that's where we can say there is faith, there is hope, and there is love. Faith in Jesus will never disappoint, will it? Because he is never going to let you down. Things come and bad stuff happens. That's not what I'm saying. Bad stuff is always going to happen, but Jesus is never going to let you down in that. That's where the hope is secured, right? Not in the stuff we have, not in how our day is going, or how successful we feel we are, or even in how our relationships are. Our hope is in Jesus. And it's his love. So as you think through it today, look at those verses 4 through 7. And I'm sure you've seen or heard this before, but it serves as a good reminder for us. As you're reading through those, these things that not perfectly describe, our words can never perfectly describe God, but these things that describe the way God is. But God is patient and kind. He doesn't envy or boast. What happens when you substitute your name in there? When I look at this and read, Eric is patient and kind. Eric does not envy or boast. He's not arrogant or rude. This serves as a checklist for us. Not of check marks, things to do, got it checked off, but places to say, Holy Spirit, show me. Show me where I'm falling short and work in me to draw me closer to this kind of love. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the extravagant love that you showed us. That you gave up your life on the cross. That you suffered humiliation and torture that you did not deserve at the hands of people you created. And you did it for us. You did it to the glory of your Father, and you reclaimed us from death through that action. Jesus, we pray that you will continue to teach us what it is to be patient and kind. To not envy or boast, not to put ourselves out there ahead of others, not to build ourselves up, but to make much of you. To build your kingdom, your body. Jesus, we pray for those around us. Those who are hurting and are lost, who need the hope that can only be found in you. God, we pray that as we experience your love, and that same love will flow out of us to those around us, that your kindness, Lord, leads them to repentance. Jesus, we thank you for loving us.